Emphysema is a deadly disease. Medical treatment makes people more comfortable and might extend their lives a few months, but nothing helps for very long. About 10 years ago, with the help of improved surgical techniques, doctors resurrected a controversial operation which might give longer relief. And since then, doctors and patients have been faced with the dilemma of whether to try it. Now, some answers are in. NPR's Joanne Silberner has this report on 1,200 patients who chose to have the surgery.
Normally, when someone breathes, the chest wall goes out, the muscles under the lungs go down, and the lungs expand. Thoracic surgeon Keith Nonheim of St. Louis University thinks of it like the action of a bellows. In his patients with emphysema, the bellows are stuck in the open position. The patients can't take in or blow out much air.
When they try to breathe, they only get little tiny movements in their chest wall, little tiny movements in their diaphragm, and each breath is just a fraction of what they otherwise could get.
To try and help them, in the mid-1990s, he started doing lung volume reduction surgeries, removing some of the diseased lung tissue, giving the bellows more room to expand and contract. But Nonheim couldn't promise his patients trying to decide about it that the new surgery would work.
I would leave it up to them, but that's also disingenuous because the God's honest truth is most of these people come in and they are desperate.
Nonheim signed up to participate in a trial with other surgeons across the nation. Half his patients who were interested in the surgery and were healthy enough to withstand it would get it. Half would not.
What we really wanted to try and find out was, number one, what's the true benefit of the lung volume reduction surgery? Number two, how long will it last? Number three, who's the best patient for this operation?
Nonheim and surgeons at other institutions put the operation to the test. Lung specialist Jeffrey Drazen says the surgery makes sense and should work, but doctors need to know for sure. He's publishing the results in the New England Journal of Medicine, where he's the editor-in-chief.
It tells us, actually very clearly, for some patients who shouldn't get the operation, that the operation is bad for them. It tells us for other patients that the operation may be good for them, and then there's kind of a big group in the middle for which it's not all that clear.
It's bad for people who have disease throughout their lungs. It may be good for people who have lung damage only in the tops of their lungs, and that damage is so bad they can barely walk. The middle group consists of patients with damage only in the lower parts of their lungs, as well as patients who can still get around pretty well. The surgery improves the quality of life, but after following the patients in this group for 2 years, there's no difference in how long they live. Joel Cooper still considers it an overall success. He's done about 350 lung volume reduction surgeries at Washington University in St. Louis.
My concern about breaking it down is that the implication keeps coming through that for those who did not show improved life expectancy, that perhaps it wasn't of value, and that is totally erroneous.
Cooper thinks the life expectancy benefits are going to show up in the next few years, and that patients may be happy to face the risk of the surgery for the chance at improved quality of life. But for Nonheim, he'll wait for data that shows a clear benefit for this middle group before offering it to them. Until now, the government has refused to pay for the surgery for Medicare patients. It's not a cheap operation, about $63,000 for the surgery and aftercare. Medicare officials say that as a result of the new study, they'll reconsider whether they should pay for the procedures in some people. Joanne Silberner, NPR News, Washington.